For the Meat Poultry Podcast, I'm Ryan McCarthy, Digital Media Associate Editor. During the annual meat conference, tackling sustainability was one of the topics we heard a lot about during many sessions. Each company takes different tactics to accomplish sustainable goals, but many take their cues from corporations like Cargill. For this episode of the podcast, we talk with Heather Tanzi, Cargill's Sustainability Director for Animal Protein, on what the company is doing to work on its long-term plans. She discussed how Cargill comes up with its goals and targets for this sector of the industry. Heather then dives into the focus of sustainability in the industry and what Cargill is doing to set the standard for the future. Next, Heather discusses some of the projects the company is working on, including the grassland restoration throughout the west part of the United States and Canada. Another item we touch on is Cargill's ability to watch sustainability throughout its supply chain, since it's such a large corporation. We hope you enjoy this conversation with Heather Tanzi. First of all, Heather, tell us, our audience, about the Cargill Sustainability Program and how it's developed since you started as the director there.
Great. Thanks for the question. So at Cargill, our sustainability work is really driven by our purpose as a company. You know, I like to think it's our North Star. And our purpose is to nourish the world in a safe, responsible, and sustainable way. So when we're thinking about addressing global sustainability challenges, you know, we do so within that context. So really, our focus is on how do we live our purpose? How do we feed a growing planet? We know between now and 2050, population is going to continue to rise. And there's going to be, 9-10 billion people on the planet. So what we're focused on doing is how can we make sure that there's ample protein available to feed that growing population, and that the supply chains that we source from and work with are optimizing and becoming as sustainable as they can be.
Okay. And give our listeners a little background about yourself and how you got into the agriculture industry and where you're now at the position at Cargill.
Sure. So I've been fortunate to work for Cargill for almost exactly 3 years, probably as of this week. So this is kind of an anniversary of sorts for me. I've spent my entire career in the sustainability space. So I started working at the Environmental Protection Agency right out of school. I worked for a company called 3M that makes a lot of products that go into the agricultural community, but more on, you know, consumer products and electronics products. So spent a long time working on sustainability issues, but was really excited to be able to join Cargill a few years ago to work in the food space, because I think there's just no other space that sustainability is so critical to the future of our industry. And there's so much great innovation and really exciting things going on in this area.
Yeah, I'm curious, for somebody who's gone with sustainability for a lot of their career, talk a little bit about with our audience how it's all changed, you know, over the last few years. And has it become more of a topic that you hear going on more and more as you've progressed in your career?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. I think as we begin to understand some of the sustainability challenges that we're facing, like, say, climate change, the dialogue around what we need to do to address that to ensure the success of our businesses and our suppliers' businesses into the future, you know, is getting more urgent. At Cargill, you know, if we take climate as an issue, we believe that it's important to act on climate change now. And that's why you'll have noticed, you know, over the last couple of years, sustainability has always been important to Cargill, and it's always been core to how we run our business, but we've invested even more in the last few years. And we've set bold external targets around what we're going to do and how we're going to work with our suppliers and work with our customers down the value chain to drive sustainability.
Sounds good. And I know one of the things that I've seen with Cargill and discussed is this Beef Up Sustainability Initiative. What goes all into that specifically, where you guys can tackle what you guys are trying to do?
We launched Beef Up Sustainability, about a year and a half ago. So, and that program is how we're working to drive sustainability throughout our beef supply chain. So we've set a goal as a company to reduce the greenhouse gas emissions across all of our supply chains by 30%. And beef up sustainability is how we're realizing that goal in the beef supply chain. And what's really exciting about our work in that space is that, you know, one of the things that people don't realize is that the North American beef supply chain is already one of the best in class supply chains when it comes to sustainability and efficiency. So our North American supply chain is, or across all of North America, is 35% more efficient than the beef supply chain globally. So farmers and ranchers in North America have been focused on sustainability for decades. And what we want to do through Beef Up is partner with them, learn from them what they're doing on the ground, and really help accelerate and move what is, you know, I sort of jokingly say, it's like we're a platinum program and we're moving to a diamond, right? We're moving up the, we're getting even better. We're taking something that's really best in class and making it better. And so the way we're doing that through Beef Up is we actually have four focus areas. So when we started the program, we, you know, sat down and we partnered with our suppliers. We talked to our customers, really tried to understand the overall footprint of beef. And we have identified four key areas that we think we can make, you know, together in collaboration with those partners, make meaningful reductions on and help drive efficiencies. So the first is, and maybe the most common sense place to start, right, is on food waste. So if we're wasting food that we're growing, we're not, that food, we're putting all the agricultural inputs and all the energy that goes into that production of the food is wasted. So right now, you know, a third of the food that's produced across the world is wasted. So that's 1.3 billion tons of food. So if we can make an impact to reduce food waste, both within our own operations and within our customers' operations, that could have a major impact on greenhouse gas emissions. Another focus area is by implementing more regenerative agricultural practices in the growing of feed for beef cattle. So we're working with farmers to implement things like no-till or cover crops in the production of corn that's fed to the cattle. And so that way, you know, agriculture can really be the solution to climate change because we're sequestering and drawing that carbon down out of the atmosphere into the soils. The third focus area is on more sustainable grazing and more sustainable land management. So farmers and ranchers across North America, it's really an interesting aspect of beef production is that in many cases, beef cattle are grazing on lands that was traditionally grazed by bison. And so those prairies and those native ecosystems have evolved for this idea of an apex grazer, right? That's on there, that's interacting with the soil, that's taking the grasslands, and that's part of its natural ecosystem. So we can really use cattle to be kind of a force for good on those grazing lands. And by using certain techniques around the grazing, we can actually help to, similar to the feed production, we can draw down carbon by growing deeper roots and having a more healthy prairie ecosystem. So sustainable grazing and putting lands that are unproductive from a row crop perspective back into sustainable grazing is really a third focus for the program. And then the last focus is on innovation. And here is where it's really exciting. So my role, I lead sustainability for Cargill's global protein businesses, but also for our animal nutrition and health business. And there's a lot we can do in terms of how we feed animals, how we keep them healthy, that reduces the impact of animal agriculture. So a healthy, thriving animal is going to be more efficient than one that's not. And so through that fourth pillar, we're really leaning into, you know, how can we bring innovative solutions that help to, you know, take our best in class system and make it even better.
We will be right back to the podcast after this short break. In the March edition of the Meat and Poultry Magazine, don't miss out on the top processors of 2021 as we spotlight the meat and poultry companies that are standing out. Check out our detailed information on the industry in the March issue. Also, don't miss the Bacon Trends Technology Supplement alongside the March issue, where we examine all the makings of the bacon industry. There's all that and more in the latest edition of Meat Poultry Magazine.
You know, I was interested, we've written about in the past about your grassland restoration or your grazing restoration.
Can you tell us a little bit more about how that's going and expanding, and whether that's something you guys can move to other parts of the world at some point, or is it going to be something where you have to have the United States and Canada specifically have a lot more land than a lot of other places in the world too. So.
Yeah, it's a good question. So our beef supply chain for our protein business is North American based. So our goal and our programs are really focused on North America because that's where our supply chain is. But I think these practices could potentially be moved to other parts of the world. I have to be honest, I'm not really an expert in that space because we are so focused kind of on where our supply chain sits. But we have had good success in our early projects. Some of them have not rolled out as quickly as we'd hoped with COVID. So, you know, things are a little bit slower, but we're moving forward with them. And we have two programs that we've announced in that space. One is, working to, in partnership with WWF and Burger King, are one of our customers, to take unproductive row crop land in the Northern Great Plains and put it back into prairies. Another is with Walmart Foundation and McDonald's. We're working to implement more sustainable grazing practices and ranch management plans in partnership with ranchers on 1 million acres in the Northern Great Plains. And so you see, we've done a fair amount of focus on the Northern Great Plains, but I think there's opportunity for us to move to other parts of the US and Canada with some of these projects. And if you stay tuned, we have some exciting announcements coming out over the next few months that will talk about how we're expanding this work into different areas.
Sounds great. You know, I'm always curious, Heather, when it's a big global food company like Cargill, how does that help you guys move forward on sustainability when you can look at so many different aspects of the supply chain? Talk a little bit about how you can collaborate with all the other areas of Cargill, and even though you're focused in mainly on the animal nutrition and animal meat area.
Yeah, it's a great question. And it's one of the things that, you know, personally makes me really excited about working at Cargill, because we touch so many different parts, to your point, of the value chain. We have all these experts internally that we can work with, and they have connections to suppliers and different parts of the supply chain that we can collaborate with to drive sustainability. And I think it's really core to our strategy as a company is to create bridges and connect that value chain and really be working and listening with players across it. You know, Beef Op sustainability is a great example of that, because when you think about the projects that we have, that we've launched thus far, you know, I talked about the connection to our animal nutrition business and how driving innovations in that space around health and productivity can be really important in our, in helping our protein business, you know, advance its sustainability objectives. Well, the same could be said for going back down the value chain as well. So we have our Cargill agricultural supply chain business, and we work really closely with them because their suppliers are the farmers that are growing the feed that get fed to cattle in feedlots across the US and Canada. So we use their expertise and work with them to understand, you know, how to amplify best practices that they're suppliers are doing around regenerative ag to help improve soil carbon sequestration from our supply chain. So there's definitely, you know, great connections really across, our whole business at Cargill, and then really into our customers that are doing some exciting work and really leading in this space too. You know, one of the areas we haven't talked about is our customers have set bold goals around climate, and they're really committed to taking urgent action there. And so it's exciting for us to be able to partner with them as we share these aspirations to build projects together.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that since we hadn't talked about that much. Has that been a big change for you since you've looked at sustainability, where your customers are more aware of it? The public in general is just has a real focus on this now. The next generation is really focused on that. Is that something that you're just constantly looking at throughout a day-to-day operation?
Absolutely. Yeah. A lot of our customers are really focused on building more sustainable supply chains, and food is often at the top of their list in the area they want to focus on. And that's because they want to live their values as a company. But they also, to your point, their consumers care more about these issues, and their consumers want to understand where their food comes from, and they want to know that their food is grown in more sustainable ways. So it's exciting as consumers get more interested in this topic that, some of the work that maybe was going on at Cargill or at our customers' locations that maybe we weren't talking about as much publicly, now we're sharing more because consumers are really engaged in these topics.
You know, this is more of a general question, Heather, and since you've been in sustainability for a long time, what's some of the common misconceptions you see from people around sustainability a lot of the time?
Yeah, I think that people, one of the misconceptions that I run into, and this is particularly in the beef space, is that people think that there aren't great things that are already going on, or that producers and our suppliers, the ranchers that we work with, the farmers, the feedlot operators, that they're not already thinking about sustainability day in, day out. You know, in some ways, our suppliers are really the true stewards of the land. And this is a topic that's so important to them because it's about their businesses and making their businesses more sustainable into the future and taking care of the resources that help them have their businesses. So there's a passionate group of our suppliers are very passionate about sustainability, and we learn a lot from them. I mentioned that in the beef supply chain that we're already 35% more efficient. And that's because producers, ranchers, they've been working on these topics forever. So it's just a matter of a lot of it for us is to understand where they have great practices in place. And then if we can find ways that we can be helpful in removing barriers for them to implement them more broadly. So I think that misconception is that there aren't solutions out there. In many cases, there really are great solutions. It's just a matter of how can we help facilitate our suppliers to move in the direction that they're already going.
The other thing I wanted to ask about is we're doing this around the annual meat conference, which is being held virtually this year, and I'm sure it'll be back in person in 2022. But what kind of benefit does Cargill get when you're able to talk to so many different people from all over the country with the annual meat conference around what you guys are doing?
Yeah, well, I think it gets at kind of the theme that we've been talking about all the way through this is this idea of collaborating to drive sustainability. You know, we're able to engage with our customers that are here that share our objectives and focus on sustainability. We're able to talk with our peers because, sustainability is something that we all need to advance across the industry. And if we can share best practices, even with competitors, that's a good thing, right? We want to move and build more sustainable supply chains together. So it's really about learning from each other, helping our customers achieve the goals that they have around this space. And that collaboration, I think, is so important.
Sounds good. Has there been anything interesting that stood out to you listening in on things about the annual meat conference or some areas that you've really found some interest in so far this week?
Well, I have to say I'm excited, and maybe it's a plug for one of our leaders in our protein business, John Nash, is going to be talking today about COVID response and the protein space. And I'm really excited to hear from him, and excited to hear kind of that dialogue around how do we. We're facing this unprecedented challenge that has sustainability impacts, it has supply chain impacts. How do we navigate through this, and what does our new reality look like? So that's been really interesting to me to hear. I'm excited to hear from John on that topic, but also just to have some conversations, some virtual hallway conversations on those topics.
Sure. The last one I wanted to talk about, Heather, was just kind of some resources that people would be interested about sustainability. Is there anything that Cargill's doing, or even that you personally have that you really rely on a lot of times when people want more information about sustainability when it comes to animal nutrition and animal meat?
Well, let's see. I could plug some of our websites on sustainability, and I certainly use them to find out what's going on. So we have our Beef Ops sustainability website that talks about what we're doing in that space, and it's a great way for people to connect with us. on that. Let's see, other resources. And Cargill's animal nutrition and health business, as I mentioned, we do a lot on sustainability there as well. But, you know, but I look to groups like the Global Canadian and US Roundtables for Sustainable Beef and the work that they're doing around sustainability. I look to folks like NAMI who have best practices and information out there. So it's, I think it's really about looking to your partners that you may traditionally go to for information outside the sustainability space. They're also, you know, putting out great resources in around sustainability as well.
Sounds good. Well, Heather, thanks for taking a few minutes for this week and chatting about everything with sustainability and the annual meat conference. So thanks for the time as always, and hopefully to hear from you soon.
Great. It was great to get to chat with you today. Thanks.
Make sure to check out the latest stories from the monthly print edition and online at meatpoultry.com. Also follow us on social media at Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram, all by searching at Meat Poultry. And if you like what you heard, please leave us a rating and a review. It really helps us. All right, that's it for this time, folks. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.